Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Pulver's Towing. And today we're going to honor two Iowa racing legends we lost recently with a best of segment going back to 2015 with Dennis Hovengay and back to 2010 with driver Verlin Aker. We're also going to get a history lesson from track announcer and photographer Todd Narveson, and a little more about our title sponsor, Pulver's Towing, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Honda has found a way to make the great outdoors even greater with special offers on select 4Trax ATVs. Our lineup of tireless 4Trax ATVs are designed to tackle the toughest jobs and leave you with enough energy to enjoy a ride once the work is done. And now get up to $800 factory to dealer incentives on select models. Just head to Trimble Cycle Center in Austin now during the Greater Outdoors Sales Event and make this your best year outdoors yet. Factory to dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details. Trimble Cycle Center in Austin, celebrating 60 years as USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
So you're inviting friends over for a friendly barbecue? Nice. But if you're a true friend, you'll start with Cookies Barbecue Sauce. I'm Speed the Sauce Man, and let me tell you why the right sauce is so important. Cookies Barbecue Sauce is made from real deal ingredients, and I haven't changed the recipe since 1976. Cookies Barbecue Sauce complements meat. It doesn't smother it. It just makes your food taste better. Smart cookies use cookies. Anything less is just meat abuse.
Cookies is the one.
Pulver Motor Service is far more than towing and recovery. Pulver has the versatility and tools to move anything with wheels. Why should you invest in a truck and trailer when for a fraction of the cost, Pulver can move your heavy equipment to the job site and back? With our years of experience and investment in equipment, Pulver Motor Service isn't limited by size, weight, or distance. See for yourself at pulvermotorservice.com. Contact us today and find out how we can help move your business forward.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there, whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna. Licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Midwest Collision.
Company vehicles get a workout and they also see a lot of road miles. Midwest Collision in Faribault knows that the more those company vehicles are on the road, the more chances things can happen. Contact Bob today at Midwest Collision and set up a program for your fleet to get back to looking like a fleet you can be proud to own. Contact Midwest Collision in Faribault today for all your fleet body work or collision needs.
Napa Auto Parts has provided parts to people of this community for a long time. We're here when you need us, and you're here for us. Together, we've fought wars, braved blizzards, tackled economic crises, and whipped some nasty diseases. We're in the middle of a battle like we've never seen before, but we will persevere because we'll do it together. So stay strong and keep your head high. Napa, nationally known, locally owned, and a proud member of the local community.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil, VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by Hall of Fame late model driver Dennis Hovengay. And Dennis, you raced from 1960 to 2000, 40 years behind the wheel, amassing over 400 feature wins. What was your first car that you raced, and what track or tracks did you first race at?
It was a 48 Mercury, and the first track I raced at is Clarion, and I won the first feature.
First feature ever at Clarion, Iowa?
Yeah, the first night I went out, I won the feature in Belmont.
You race out of Lawrence, Iowa. Where is Lawrence, Iowa, for fans that do not know, and what are some of the closest tracks?
Well, it's up northwest Iowa. It's south of Spencer, and I raced at Alta, Algona, Webster City, Rock Rapids, and Denison, and Jackson, Minnesota, and Fairmont, Minnesota, Mason City, Boone, Iowa, Des Moines. That's about pretty close to around here, I guess.
Alta is a track that I have not heard of. Is that still in existence, and what was that track like?
Yeah, that track is still going. That's over just west of Storm Lake, 5 miles. It's an old track, and it's been there for years. They fixed it up and rebanked it, and it's on a Wednesday night now, and they got nice grandstand, and they get a lot of cars, too.
There is a great picture of you standing next to a number 10 57 Chevy at Crawford County Speedway, and you must have raced against my old buddy Speed Herring, because he just chuckled when I mentioned your name and said, say hi to Dennis for me.
Yeah, Speed, I've known him for a long time, and his boy. We used to scale cars together out there in the Cookies barbecue, big building they had. You could drive a car in and turn right around, trailer and all.
I tell you, that is a nice facility they have. And one of the things in talking to Speed when I had him on the show, a lot of the younger drivers or the younger car builders don't realize that back then, you guys were actually adding weight to these cars. You were welding on pieces of steel and big front bumpers that you could actually move somebody out of the way if you needed to. And I told one of the current car builders that, and he just looked at me like I was out of my mind, but that was actually the case.
Yeah, it was. They used to use the bumper a lot.
Dennis, you were known as one of the hardest chargers ever to grace any of the Iowa speedways. Fans and drivers knew you were coming to the front no matter where you started in the feature.
Yeah, I guess that's about right. I did a lot of them.
Not only did you drive your own cars, you drove for some of the best-known car owners like Daryl Aron and Joe Ringsdorf.
Yep, that's right. Clay Eghorn, he's passed away now, and Jim Mills, and he's passed away too. But I drove for them a lot, and he had a car that we put together, and we raced for many years together.
You raced hobby stocks?
Mostly modified in the late model class back years ago, and then we went to the modified year at the end.
Okay, were the first cars that you started out at Crawford County, were they considered the hobby stock division?
No, I had an old Pontiac, a 55, back years ago, and we raced that at Denison, but it was, I think that was kind of claimed back then. It was in the late model or the stock car class or something, I think we used to race that at.
Something that I did not know about you, Dennis, you also raced a sprint car. How'd that go for you?
Yeah, that did all right. I raced that for Dick Valentine. We raced at the Clay County Fair, and we raced at Sioux Falls and Jackson, Minnesota. And also we was down to Knoxville one time with that car. So it was different. It worked good. It just got to have a little time to run something like that, you know. But I had a lot of fun doing it.
What years were you in a sprint car, and do you remember some of the other drivers you were racing against at that time?
Oh, back years ago with Mark DeWall and most of the guys up to Jackson, Jim Edgington, and I can't remember all the names back then, but Gail White was one of them, too, that was in there, and can't remember all the names. That's been quite a few years ago.
Bobby Shyrock. Old number three, you yep. Two had some of the most amazing battles in history on the track.
Yeah, we used to fight together back and forth. We used to get the crowd going wild. We was both good friends. But we raced hard together. Sometimes he thought I was bad, and sometimes I thought he was bad. But we just kept going at it.
So there was probably a couple nights where you had each other's paint color on the side of your car?
Oh, yeah, I imagine that was right.
Dennis, as the story goes from the rest of the drivers, they knew that you and Bobby were going to finish 1-2, so many nights they showed up at the track trying to figure out who was going to finish third.
Yeah, that's right.
Some of the other great drivers you raced against weekly in your career, Gary Webb, Tom Hurst, Ed Sanger, Bob Hill and Tommy Bartholomew. That was really a great time to be in late model racing.
Yeah, I raced with them down to Boone and Webster City. I ran with them guys. But most of them was at Boone, you know, for the big race. So that's where I ran with them a lot.
One of the really neat things is what Marty Pringle is doing with these racer reunions. It is so fun to get together with everyone and see all the pictures and hear all the great stories going on in his shop. That is really an awesome event.
Yeah, it is, and I like to go down there, and you always meet old friends. They always come back, and it's nice to sit there and talk to them.
It was great talking to you that day, and it was a lot of fun. And I know you were enjoying yourself talking to some of the other guys there at the table and kicking around some fun stories.
Yeah, it was a nice day.
1972, you were the track champion at Webster City and Boone, and that was also the final year that they ran the Tri-State 100 that lasted from 1969 to 72. What was that special race like?
Well, was that the first year of the Boone Grand Nationals in 71? It was quite a race, I guess. 71 and 9, and I won the Boone deal. And that was kind of nice to do that from all the cars that was there. You know, you run against some of the best in the state and many states. You know, they come from all over to run.
Was that Tri-State 100 truly a 100-lap race?
I believe it was.
You were also track champion at Fairmont in 1980, running against Willie Kraft, Bruce Buschel, and many others. That is a really awesome facility, and the grandstands are really neat there. But you also launched yourself out of turn number 3, and that's a very interesting story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that night I went to go around the car, and I went up over his front wheel, and I flipped, cleared that fence and went clear over the wall. I never touched the fence at all.
And the interesting thing is you said you weren't hurt at all, and actually the car wasn't really hurt that bad. You actually got it going pretty quickly.
Yeah, it did. We took it down and had to straighten frame the back flip. And then on Friday night, I was up to Algona, and I got clipped and got the back end, the end of the wall, and bent it again. But we kept going. If things happen, you know, if you're running up front and you win, why, stuff's gonna happen sometime or another.
I'm sure if your wife was along that night, that was a very interesting evening for her watching you launch it out of the park.
Yeah, she just said she stood up on the hauler and she never moved.
Did you ever run against Les Wilden and Richard Simpson?
Yes, I did, up to Algona.
Those are two really great guys. We always see them at the Kossuth County Speedway winter reunions, and they are really fun to talk to.
Oh, yeah.
For fans that don't know, Les was the 1965 modified track champion at Jackson, so he was racing for a long time, and many guys seen Richard Simpson come up here to Owatonna and run. Do you remember running here at the half mile in Owatonna?
Yeah, I do. I don't remember what year that was. I don't remember offhand, but they come up there and run. It was either special or was it the fair or something. I don't remember what it was, but I was up there a couple times at Owatonna and raced. Yeah, I enjoyed that. There was a lot of cars there, too.
The old Steele County Fair races, that was a night when Grandma and Grandpa took the grandkids to the fair and brought them to the races, and people came that might be the only race they saw for the entire year, and that grandstand would be packed, and people just loved that event.
Yeah.
In 1992, you won the very first Harris Clash in the IMCA Modified Division. What was that event like, and that had to be a really special win for you?
Yeah, that was at Webster City, and it was a nice race to win, being the first one. And they always bring up my name when the Harris Clash comes out, because I won the first one they ever had. And that's kind of nice to know, you know, to have behind you.
Dennis, you just had a recent birthday. You just turned 74.
Yeah. I clicked the calendar again.
That's always a good thing when you keep turning the calendar.
Yeah. She should be good for another 20 more.
About 2 weeks ago, on October 3rd, the Dennis Hovengay special was held, and that had to be a great night. I know you got down there early. You were there in person. What was that entire evening like for you personally?
I enjoyed it a lot. They had 102 cars there. I shook hands with every driver that night that raced, and I enjoyed that, and we had a good time. And they rode in the pace car each time they had a feature. And the pace car was driven by my granddaughter, the two-man cruiser. We had that there. And her and the grandson drove that up to Alona. They won 7 features with that car this year.
And also, I noticed there was a number 10 modified there.
Yeah, that's, the grandson was driving that, and we didn't know that was going to be like that, but it was a duplicate of one of my old cars. The wrap was on it. It was identically to one of the old cars I had.
Out of all of the old cars that you drove, I've seen pictures of, there has to be 20, 30 cars you drove over the years at least. Is there a particular one that was a favorite?
Well, that 55 Chevy convertible I had with the 3 deuces on it, one I bought from Shockett Snyder, they used to drive. I bought that car turnkey for $1,200, the whole car. I raced that for, I don't know, a couple years at least, and it was a good car. I changed the motor in it a time or two, but that worked good. It had a small block in it when I got it, a 327. Then I ended up putting a 396 in it, big block, and then it went from 396 up to 454, and I had that punched out, and then we ended up 481. So the car worked good. I had a lot of fun with that car.
You know, when you bought that from a driver that I've heard a lot of stories about, that people got real tired of following him around the track.
Yeah, Gene drove that car for many nights, and I bought that from Hansberg Drug. He owned the car, so.
You are enjoying life at home. Do you get a chance to get out to many races?
Oh, yeah, we did. We would go and watch the grandkids race and worked on the car and make sure they get stuff all put together right so they don't finish.
Well, Dennis, I'm sure they're honored to have you helping them out with the car, because you've always been good with the wrench and great behind the wheel, and it's a real honor to have you here on the Dirt Show with us, and thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
You bet. Thank you for having me.
One of our brand new items for 2019, we're very excited to unleash our new 3D printed plastic trickery to our line. First part in that line is our new Raceiver mounts. They're available for the Fusion or Element, and you can tie strap them to a roll bar, or we have a flat mount that you can pop rivet to your interior tin or the side of your helmet, or you can Velcro it. One of the nice features of having it on your helmet instead of being on your seatbelts or to a tube is you can get out in a hurry and not have to worry about where your Raceiver is or being tied down to your belts or tied down to a tube. It's real nice to have it on the side of your helmet, so you can get out of the car very fast. And as always, check us out online at weirdsmachine.com or give us a call at 877-460-7211. Thank you.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your total source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna total source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miners Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
If you're in need of a worry-free power lift door, then you'll want to stop and talk with Rod French. Make a statement with a power lift architectural door on your home or cabin. Power lift doors can be retrofitted to fit an existing door opening or designed into your next commercial, agricultural, livestock, or aircraft hangar build. Stylish, functional, and built to last. Power lift doors by French's Manufacturing are made locally in Dodge Center, Minnesota by their experienced craftsmen. Contact Callie or Rod. Powerlift Doors by French's Manufacturing. 374-9306.
Working at my job, going all day long. Don't want to go and mow my lawn. Picking up the phone book, and what do I see? I see Wolf and Sons can do it for me. Dandelions, I don't want to spray. Free estimates are coming your way. Don't hesitate and learn about more. Call 455-3524.
And if you have some really big outside jobs, Wolf and Sons has the dump trucks, loaders, and graders you need to haul in driveway gravel, black dirt, and clear building sites.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packing products when it comes to shipping your business products? Foamcraft Packaging in Owatonna provides a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call 455-2893. That's 455-2893.
Aero Race Wheels was established on the conviction that its dedicated staff could provide higher quality wheels designed specifically to endure the tough requirements and conditions of the racing industry. Most importantly, the wheels need to be manufactured and sold, maintaining an affordable price structure. Aero Racing Wheels has become the largest premier steel wheel supplier, and their product line speaks for itself. Upgrade your racing game today at AeroRaceWheels.com.
Welcome to the driver's segment of the Dirt Show, and today I am joined by veteran driver Verlin Aker. And Verlin, you've raced just about every kind of stock car there is, and one of the things that's really interesting is you attempted to qualify for the 1972 Daytona 500. That had to be a big day for you.
Yes, it was. I didn't do very well, but I tried to qualify, and I got involved in a 13-car pileup out there that took me out of the race. But we were moving up through the pack there before that happened.
When we spoke on the phone lining up this interview, one of the neat races that you mentioned was the Des Moines 300, where you ran one of Ernie Durr's cars, and you guys did pretty well that day, and it's a pretty interesting story.
Yeah, I really begged Ernie. I didn't have a ride at that time, but I always wanted to drive the 300. So I called him up a couple of times, and he said, well, I don't know. How am I going to get the car down there? I said, well, we'll come and get it. So I had this guy that always helped me, and he went down and got it. Well, the guy's name was he's from Austin, Minnesota. And he went and picked it up for me and took it to Des Moines. And before we started the race, Bernie sat down with me, and he said, no, I got to run 1-2. But he didn't say who was going to win, who was going to run number two. So then we started out the race, and I did get by Ernie and Ramo, and I was leading it. And then I got water and the fuel, and I did finish up second, and Ernie won it. But yeah, it was a good race. It was a hard race. It was hot and dusty, but it was fun.
You are one of the National Dirt Hall of Fame late model inductees, and that had to be a great day, because when you look at all the people that have been inducted into that Hall of Fame, there are some great names out there.
Yeah, it's quite a list they got out there. It was really an honor. They called me up and said that you're nominated to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I had never really heard of it for the National. And they told me when to go out there and what to bring and get stuff ready. And it was really great, yeah. And the day I got inducted, Dale Earnhardt's grandpa got inducted the same day as I did. So I got to meet her, his wife, and part of their family.
You also said that you brought a helmet down and a uniform and signed that. And is that all at the Hall of Fame for people to see?
Yes, it is, yeah. I think they even got cars in there now. Some guys' cars are also in the Hall of Fame. That is owned now by Tony Stewart, because that track was bought out.
And where is this Hall of Fame located?
In Florence, Kentucky.
Verlin, we want to name a few of the major events that people have probably heard of. You won the 1978 100-lap Yankee Dirt Classic, and you also won the 1979 Miller 100, and those wins were against some of the best drivers in the country at that time. That had to be a couple of big victories for you.
Yeah, I tried to win those races before that, but I finally, that 78 and 79 and then 72 was a World 100, and that was some good years. And then 1967 also was 67 and 68. We got the invitation on Sterling, Illinois, and Freeport. I also won three consecutive Iowa Challenge Cups in Cedar Rapids, the Yankee Dirt Track Classic, and quite a few. Went to Muskogee, Oklahoma. I went with Ed Sanger. I was driving Sanger's car. And I went to Muskogee, and I wasn't feeling good that day, and we got there late. Ed was kind of always running a little late anyway, and we got there, and he said, well, you do what you want with the car. So I told him to put some weight in the back end and grab some tires, and we had wound up good fast time. And then they had what they call the King of the Hill, and the fast time took on the top five next qualifiers one at a time, and we beat all them. And then it comes to the feature, and I was leading. I won the feature, and I was so tired and wore out. The last lap, I spun it out, and Sanger asked me, what happened to Will? And he said, well, he won the race. And I we won that, too.
When we were talking about the Des Moines 300, you mentioned that that race was on dirt. A lot of the fans may have forgotten or are too young to remember that USAC stock car racing back in the 60s and 70s was huge in our area, and you were running with guys like A.J. Foyt, Roger McCluskey, Ramo Stott, Don White. That was a great era of racing in this area.
Yes, it's really a pleasure to run against A.J. Foyt and the Unsers, Bobby Unser and Al Unser. Butch Hartman also was there at that time. And I was driving for Terry Nichols' dad, which is Ray Nichols, and they built the cars for Chrysler Corporation. So I really didn't have a factory car when I drove for Terry. But we did pretty well. I didn't win any races for him, but I did get to drive Bobby Unser's car one time when he was rained out in Ontario, California. He was driving the Champ cars, and then I wound up winning the USAC race for... It was Ray Rickles' car, but it was sponsored by Chris Follow. They call him the Mystery Greek. But yeah, we won that race.
When you were running with USAC, the Minnesota State Fair had USAC-sanctioned races, the Iowa State Fair. Did the USAC guys ever get here to the Owatonna Speedway?
Not that I know of. We did run Kekana, Wisconsin. That was asphalt. And another one out in Ohio. We had a couple of asphalt races. We did run Texas and Pocono for USAC.
The USAC stock cars raced all over the United States, and the haulers and the hotel amenities weren't anything like they are today. I bet you have some great stories about getting from one place to the other back then.
Yeah, I've hooked a ride with guys that had airplanes, and they weren't really, I don't know if they were registered pilots or not, but it got me to the track. And then we flew to Pocono, got fogged out a couple of times, and then I rode back with a guy from Iowa City. He had what they call a pusher. He had the propeller in the back, and we ran into a storm coming back in Iowa City. Yeah, it was kind of, some of them things were kind of scary.
I've read some stories about those airplane rides back then and some of those old aircraft, and a lot of the guys said they would rather take their chances on the ground and be late than get up in the sky with some of those drivers.
That's true. Quite experience.
Another one of the big races that you won was the World 100. There has to be a couple of the big races that stand out in your mind as being very memorable.
Yeah, the World 100. We had a good year that year, and the guy I was driving for, his name was Dale Snyder, and he really didn't want to go out there. And I said, well, I'd run that track before, so I knew a little bit about it. And the motor was getting kind of wore out. So anyway, I talked him into going, and we didn't get qualified too good. I had to start 21st, and they only started 24 cars. And it was dusty and hot. And I thought, well, if I just try to stay out of trouble, I'll be all right. Well, they, I don't know how many laps we ran. I was moving up through there, and they had a caution, and they moved me up some more. And I ran, I think it was 10 laps from the end, I got the lead. And that's how we won that race. But then I went back a couple of years later and I finished third. And I was leading that one. But two guys got by me. So yeah, I had a pretty good time out there in Rossburg, Ohio.
What year did you decide to become a race driver? And what track did you start out at? And what division were you in?
Well, I believe I started in Gadsden, Minnesota. A guy from Blooming, his name was Nelson. He had a stock car. Tony Campbell was driving for him. And I'd go in there and help him once in a while, just kind of fiddle around. And we went to the track, and the driver didn't show up. So he said, why don't you drive? And I said, no, I don't want to get in that thing. It was a 1937 Pontiac four-door, six-cylinder. So it had to qualify, and it was muddy that night. And I thought, well, we'll give it a try, and we wound up getting fast time. So I had to start in the back all night. I didn't dare pass the car. I was scared. And one thing led to another, and I thought, well, it's kind of fun. So then I got involved in it. At one time, I owned two cars. And then they had very good luck. Seemed like every week they'd roll me. I'd get in everybody's way. And we had that 37 Pontiac, and man, I'll tell you, it was so bent up and beat up that they said, well, he won't be back again. Well, just for meanness, I think we made it back. One time it got banged up so bad we had to put it up against a tree, and we put a tractor on each end of it and straightened it out. Now, today, you would never think about doing that. You know, they got a handle real good, and that thing was terrible. But I guess I was just bullheaded enough or I wouldn't quit. Kept working at it. I guess that's what you got to do. You got to eat it, sleep it, and live it all the time.
And a couple weeks ago, we had Harlan Mohart on the air, and he is in his 54th year of racing, and he still has his coupe that he started out with in 1957. And he said, driving the new stuff today, he said, I don't know how we ever got those things around the track because, boy, they're a bear to drive.
Yeah, we didn't have power steering back then. Now they got power steering and they got radios, and it'd be fun to drive one of them again, but I'm too old for that.
You had the opportunity to drive some great equipment back in your day. Hall of Fame builder Ray Nichols, who is in the NASCAR Hall of Fame, had drivers like Bobby Unser, Bobby Allison, Buddy Baker driving for him, and you had the opportunity to run one of those cars.
Yeah, I did when I won that USAC race, and it was a world of difference. You couldn't believe it. It had the Hemi in it, you know, you turn those things close to 7,000 RPM, and it had all kinds of power. Car was well balanced. Yeah, it was a real pleasure to drive one of them.
When you look back on all your experiences and the people you met over the years of racing, you must have a whole bucket load of stories.
Yeah, over the years you forget them too. I get them papers up once in a while, look at them, and I say, oh yeah, I remember that. A lot of stuff you've kind of forget about.
Do you still get out to the track and watch some of the races down there in Iowa?
I don't go to the weekly races, but I go to some of the specials they have here. The Yankee race. They got some pretty good races over in West Liberty now, too. And I haven't been there yet this year, but I'm going to get over there one of these nights.
Well, right where you're located, there's a lot of racing going on, and there's a lot of great upcoming drivers. And I know the ones that we talk about look at your career and say, I hope I can be just like Verlin Aker.
Well, yeah, I hope a lot of them can be, because I really enjoyed what I did. And I drove for a guy out of Austin there, Gerald Seavey. He's passed away now, but he was one of the guys that really got me going into the big motors. We said the Hemi. I went out to Detroit and picked up a Hemi. And we stuffed it in that 59 Plymouth, and that was a job. But I'd like to mention him because he did me a lot of favors. And Gerald Seavey, Dave Sims, Timmy Broughton, he's gone now. There's a lot of guys that really helped me throughout the years, and they're not here anymore.
Well, when you look back at your era of racing with Mert Williams and Dave Noble and Ed Sanger and yourself, there was some great racing going on for the fans, and they really appreciate you guys and the effort that you put into being out there on the track. And Verlin, I really appreciate you being with us today and taking the time to do this interview.
Well, thank you. Glad to do it.
Transform your garage into an extension of your home with a custom finished floor by Garage Force. No matter how you use your garage, Garage Force has you covered. American made. Backed by a lifetime warranty, our professionally installed industrial-grade coatings will protect your garage from anything life throws at it and makes cleanup a snap. More importantly, it's the unbelievable feeling you get each time you use your dream garage. Visit us online at GarageForce.com.
Call Todd at 651-387-9213. That's 651-387-9213.
Hey, this is David Noble. Old number 75, you're listening to The Dirt Show.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers products. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. Superior lubricants like JB80 and JB Heavy Duty Chain Lubricants are made for today's farm equipment. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to auto enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers Car Care Products distributor at 952-934-7354 or visit justicebrothers.com. Go with the winner, Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
Hi, this is Bert Williams, and you're listening to The Dirt Show.
You already know, Rhino Ag builds the most robust tractor accessories in the agriculture industry. Ever wondered what a Rhino would cost? Go to rhinoag.com and click on the Build Your Rhino tab. Select the product and spec it out with any option we offer. As always, contact your local dealer for any finance specials or seasonal offers at rhinoag.com.
Hi, I'm Ed Sanger, late model dirt driver, and you are listening to The Dirt Show.
For over 40 years, winning drivers have relied on VP Racing Fuels to optimize performance. Now get the same benefit with VP Pro-Grade Full Synthetic Oil and High-Performance Lubricants. VP's goal was to develop a best-in-class racing oil that offers world-class cutting-edge technology, enhanced durability and wear protection from the street to the track. VP's got you covered with the next generation performance.
This is Larry Moore, late model Hall of Fame driver, and you're listening to The Dirt Show.
Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself and has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one carbon fiber, steel, chrome moly, and aluminum drive shaft builder for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch Ford center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Todd Narveson. And Todd, many of the fans know you as the voice of Deer Creek Speedway, but many fans do not know of Todd, the race photographer, the perfect shot. Many times fans at the tracks see photographers snapping photo after photo, but it is not until they get them back home and look at them the next day and realize which ones are really special. Like being able to see the driver's eyes through the visor on his helmet, or that perfect candid shot of them hanging out in the pits with some fans.
Yeah, for sure. There's some photos of me that stuck out a little bit, too. A couple that I got a really cool shot of Steve Fegers, late model driver up at the Red Cedar Speedway in Menominee. He was just pitched perfectly sideways going into the corner, and you can see right into the front of the nose of the car was facing me just straight on. You could see his eyes through the helmet and stuff. And that was pretty cool. And then the other cool place that would take pictures was at the old trial in Fountain City. You stand up on turn one, and I got a couple pretty good photos of Mike Katormson and Bob Tim there, and I know Mike bought a bunch of those for me and blew them up into posters for his sponsors and stuff. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool feeling. You know, of course, back then we had film cameras, so you had to take your pictures. You can't see what they look like now on the little preview screens or whatever they have today. You know, you had to take them to the drugstore or wherever and get your photos developed, and then a few days later run down there and pick them up and look at them in the car to see which ones turned out and which ones didn't. And, And so that was kind of fun part of that, too, that the photographers today don't have.
You bring up all of these names in this interview. Taking photos is an up-close and personal job, and you really get to know a lot of these drivers and their personalities. Who are the real characters?
Oh, boy. There's a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of really good guys. Micah Tormson was always really cool. I always got along with Mike. We did a lot of stuff for Mike, a lot of photos for Mike. We did a couple special photo shoots for him. He had his car in the AFCO Racing Products catalog at one time, and we did all the pictures for that for him, so that was pretty special to me. And Carl Fenske, too. You know, we just lost him this past summer. He was a crazy guy still, all the way until after even it was done racing. It was the same old Carl. You know, people like that, Mert Williams, I've got to know him, you know, a lot more since he quit racing. And, I mean, you could just go on and on. There's so many great people in the sport that I'm sure I'm forgetting a bunch. But, yeah, just a lot of fun, a lot of memories, a lot of great people that you meet through the whole thing.
Todd, you got to hang out with drivers and promoters on a national level. Who were some of the legends in racing that you got to meet and hang out with on a national level?
Probably some of the cooler ones, just some of the promoters and stuff. I mean, we met Earl Balti's out in Eldora and spent a little time with him. That was pretty cool. I think the first time Tony Stewart raced a late model up here in this area at Cedar Lake back in the 90s, back when he was running the Indy car and just kind of getting into what was the Busch series then. He raced a late model up there, and we hung out with him in the pits till 4 or 5 in the morning or whatever it was that night. And, you know, we got to hang out with, I did some USMTS announcing and did a hunt for the Staleys, and we got to hang out with Kenny Schrader in their motorhome one day and just basically didn't even talk about racing. And Kenny Wallace is another one that I've been able to meet, and Kenny is a character, and Kenny is the way he is on his videos you see, the same thing in person. I mean, he's good as gold, and yeah, it's like I said, there's just a lot of neat personalities in this sport.
Now, here is a very tough question. I know you hear the word legend kicked around a lot. Locally, who do you consider some of our area legends?
Oh, boy. I mean, you could go through the decades. I mean, I've been working on my history project, too. I mean, there are so many. I mean, you can go all the way back to the 50s and stuff and talk about guys. I mean, you got Dave Noble and Ole Brewer and Dave Bjorke. Again, we're going to leave people out. Mert Williams, of course, you know, just those guys of that era that thrilled us. And then you kind of move into the next era, like Dave Tradup and some of those guys, you know, the Carl Fenskes and the Micah Tormsons. And like I said, I hate to leave anybody out. And then you kind of go into our generation or the Mike Sorensons and the Leroy Sharkies and the Bob Timms of the world and stuff like that. And now today's, you know, you're starting to mold enough and you're old enough, we're starting to see these third generation drivers come in, you know, seeing grandsons of the guys we watched when we were kids. So I don't know if that's good or bad, but Southern Minnesota has been a hotbed for racing for so many decades, especially with the modifieds and stuff with the national attention that we've got and the big races that our guys have won all across the country. So it's kind of put this area on the map.
I know you have an ultimate plan for all of these photos and racing memorabilia that you have collected.
Yeah, it's kind of a pipe dream. I've been kind of working on this for about a decade, believe it or not. We're trying to get all this stuff together, put together a book. I haven't quite decided how we're going to format it yet. I've been kind of working on track histories. There are about 16 different racetracks in this area that are still here and no longer here. There's so many different ones that, you know, just race for a couple of years, and trying to find results and stories and photos and everything. And the grand plan is to kind of put a chronological order by year of by date of racing stuff that happened around this area at all those tracks, just trying to preserve some of the history and kind of show the young folks where our sport has come, and hopefully it can keep going in a good direction.
If fans or listeners find old programs, photos, or articles, I always tell them, do not throw that stuff away. They are pieces of our racing history and really need to be preserved.
Yeah, that's very true, Clayne, and unfortunately I think a lot of it does get destroyed, you know, when people pass away or whatever, and their families are like, oh, we don't need this anymore, let's just get rid of it. Well, there's people out there that, you know, like you and I, and you talk about the racing museum down there in Algona and Marty Pringle and folks like that, and there's a lot of us that, when Troy Powers too, I can't leave him out. I'm trying to preserve the racing history, and any photo we can find is pure gold, or program, or any little tidbit. And I know some people I've talked to are kind of scared to show some of that stuff because they're afraid it's going to disappear. Well, there's technology out there. I mean, we can come to you and scan them and take photos of them. We don't need to take the stuff away from you. And we're just trying to, not trying to make any money off of it. You know, we're just trying to preserve the history and show people, like I said, where the sport was and how it got to be where it is, and show off some of the great heroes that brought the sport where it is.
Todd, I think about this every single day. When the gates finally open back up on the racetracks and we're able to walk through and sit down with our friends and enjoy a night of racing, is it ever going to be the same? We're going to appreciate it more than we ever did.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, we've been, you know, you try to stay positive through this whole thing. That's why I've been kind of posting the photos on my Facebook page and my personal Facebook page and some of the other racing pages, just trying to give people something else to think about besides everything that's going on around here. I mean, nobody can really answer that question. Is it going to be the same? What I guess my concern is with the small businesses that are shut down. And, you know, the small businesses are the lifeblood of our community, not only for the racing community, but for other events, I mean, youth sports and different fundraisers and stuff. And if those businesses aren't around, I mean, the racetracks are going to suffer too. I hope that doesn't happen, and I hope we can hope everything can pop back up the way it was before. We'll just try staying positive and hope for the best and see where we're at when we get back to wherever we're going, I guess.
I just think people are going to appreciate it so much more to be able to be there at the track on a Friday or a Saturday night and enjoy what we've enjoyed in the past.
Yeah, I sure hope so. You know, there's, you know, we always talk about, you know, you see some of the negativity you see on Facebook and stuff where people are so quick to bash a racetrack for whatever reason that they choose. And I like you said, I hope people realize that stuff can be taken away from them in a hurry, and they got to appreciate everything that you got in life, and including our racing and the people that do it. And hopefully, like you said, hopefully that'll be a trend.
Todd, thank you for everything you do, from writing articles, taking photographs, track announcing, and also posting all of this great stuff on Facebook that's making a lot of people smile. And thank you so much for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
It's my pleasure, Clayne. We appreciate everything you do for the sport, too. And just tell the race fans out there, take care, keep the faith, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Founded by Jesse Olsen in 2004, Medieval Chassis was formed to fulfill a need for better engineered race cars. Medieval Chassis' new state-of-the-art facility has made it a leader in the stock car racing industry and two-time IMCA national champions. The use of a fiber tube laser, CNC tube bender, and flat laser allows Medieval Chassis to engineer and develop a chassis that exceeds all others in performance and adjustability. Find out more today at MedievalChassis.com.
Fires Engine Service of Rochester opened its doors in 1975. Hi, this is Corey. Since 1975, we've been offering complete engine machining services and assembly. From flatheads to big blocks, Y-blocks to drag race engines, and street rods to pulling tractors. Plus, Fires Engine Service offers complete dyno service. So if your race car or street car needs a little under the hood, trust the place who's been there since 1975. Contact Fires Engine Service at 507-282-5586.
Extreme Powder Coating is your go-to to refurbish all your summer gear. From patio sets and trailers to farm equipment, Extreme can handle the smallest projects to the largest. Sandblasting on-site and powder-coat epoxy primers create the perfect base for any of their 100 top-coat colors. Not only is powder coating environmentally friendly, it's the most durable finish on the market. Extreme Powder Coating looks like paint, acts like armor.
Hi, this is Jim Misgan from Misgan Auto Parts. Misgan Auto Parts has been buying junkers and providing parts to our customers since 1972.
And our other vintage lot down at Glenville, M2 Auto Parts,
with used parts for all years of vehicles and recycling services. Misgan Auto Parts recycles smashed, rusty, worn out cars, trucks, and ag equipment. And we ship out parts daily. Call us today, 684-2100, or check us out at Misgan.com.
The difference between a Hinchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hinchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hinchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety, and Hinchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit along with friendly personal service. Hinchman, why settle for anything less?
Welcome back to a special segment brought to you by the Dirt Show title sponsors, Pulvers Towing If you have a piece of equipment, a road grader, an excavator, and you need it moved to another site, or maybe you even sold it and want it shipped somewhere in the country, and you think about the amount of expense that would go into somebody having to buy a tractor trailer, a lowboy truck to be able to do that, it's not cost effective if you don't move that equipment very often, and it's easy just to pick up the phone because you have five very easy and convenient locations that can haul from anywhere.
Yes, we do, yes. Worthington, Minnesota, Marshall, Rochester, and Stuartville.
And the other thing about Pulver's Towing is the experience. When you're going to have a piece of expensive equipment hauled around the country or across the state, you want to make sure it's an experienced, licensed driver that knows how to strap this equipment down so when it gets there, it's just the same as when it left.
We have multiple pieces of equipment, and our drivers are very experienced. We've had guys that's worked for us for over 30 years, still working for us, so we have very experienced people.
And mark the quality of your equipment. The first thing I noticed when I walked into your shop is these guys care. Your stuff is nice, and it's well-maintained and looks great.
Yeah, it's not the newest equipment around, but we maintain it very well, and we overlook everything, safety. We're underneath our trailers almost every day. We do our own work in our shop, keep our stuff up for the customer.
And something else I noticed right away, and I knew this would be a conversation piece, your father's snowmobile is actually hanging from the rafters in the shop, and that thing is beautiful. What's the story behind that, Mark?
My dad had a body shop in Granite Falls, southwest Minnesota, and we, as a family, used to race every Sunday back in the 70s and 80s. He was a Polaris dealer for many years. So, yeah, that was our hobby, to race snowmobiles every Sunday morning. And it's a 73 Starfire. It's all rebuilt, totally restored. And we thought it would be a good idea to hang it on the wall. Just a memory of what we used to do as a family and family-owned business.
Mark, thanks for your passion in what you do for a living right now. And thank you for your interest in racing. If anybody would like a piece of heavy equipment hauled, what's the best number to call to find out more information and how they can get that job done?
Somebody will answer 24 hours a day. It's 507-282-3851.
Thank you so much for being with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Yep, thank you.
Hey, Ethan, new boat?
Hey, Owen, yeah. Just getting her ready to head up north.
She's a beaut. Where'd you get them nifty boat numbers done?
SignPro Owatonna.
Bet that cost you a boatload.
Yeah, no, it really wasn't all that spendy.
Really? Emma, check out Ethan's new boat.
Hey, Ethan.
Hey, Emma.
A new boat? Oh, for fun.
See them decals he got at SignPro?
Of Owatonna?
Yeah.
Nifty.
That's what I said. Nifty.
You know, Natalie had SignPro put a logo on her car for her home business.
What's she do?
She knits afghans. SignPro of Owatonna even drew up the logo because she didn't have one yet.
Was it nifty?
Oh, you betcha. It was real nifty.
Not too spendy?
No, not too spendy, but it sure was nifty.
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 If you need custom numbers for your boat, ATV, or snowmobile, graphics for your commercial vehicle, signs for your building, or just a banner for an upcoming event, call SignPro of Owatonna at 507-444-6261, and we'll take care of all your sign and graphic needs. SignPro of Owatonna. Nifty, but not too spendy.
A car guy will never forget their first hot rod, Richard Petty's STP car, or Don Garlitz's Swamp Rat. If you race a car or own a car that means something to you, then CS Customs can capture those memories in a custom diecast. CS Customs are locally owned and work with you directly to get the details just right. If you're into cars, racing, or just looking for something unique for an event or your business, then you need to contact Chris Stangler at 612-965-0892 or see ChrisStanglersCustoms.com.
Have you ever been stuck? I mean, really stuck. This is Darcy from Pulver Towing. Over the years, we've been called to fields and job sites where they've spent days trying to free a piece of equipment from the muck. If you don't have time to wait, call Pulver Towing. Our towing experts will have you out in hours instead of days. With locations in Rochester, Worthington, Fulda, and Marshall, if you're stuck, call Pulver Towing today.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.